is me.
I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
I am who Christ is.
Now, when we believe the word of God works in us. It means that the word of God has a working ability. Now, the word works in your spirit. The word works in your soul. And then the word works in your body. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and body. So the word of God has a surgical power. The church is not supposed to teach sin. We are supposed to teach righteousness. Because we are the righteousness of God. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable unto instruction in righteousness. Not instruction in sin. We don't need to have knowledge about sin. We need to have knowledge about righteousness. But that is who we are.
You are invited to World Changes Conference this Sunday at Airport West Hotel at 6 p.m. and every other Sunday. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Enjoy grace as you grow in the knowledge of God.
Say the word of God is God speaking to me. Say the word of God is God speaking to me. Say the word of God is God speaking to me. Say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. Say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. Shout a big hallelujah. Look at someone and tell the person, you're welcome to World Changes Conference. Tell the next person beside you that you are welcome to World Changes Conference. Shout a big hallelujah. Shall we please be seated? Shall we please open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. If you are here tonight, I want you to know that you are blessed. Amen. Look at someone, tell the person, you are blessed to be here. Say, you are blessed to be part of World Changes Conference. Hebrews chapter 11, we are continuing a series on faith. And last week we talked about a lot of things on faith. Today we are continuing on faith, our faith. When we are talking about our faith, because some people came late, they thought we were talking about normal faith. So they were like, our faith, they were confused. Amen. But I want you to understand that there is faith and there is our faith. There is faith and there is our faith. And we've explained over the weeks about what faith is and what our faith is. But one thing I want you to understand is this. See, when we come for World Changes Conference or when we go to church, we are not going there to occupy a seat. The reason why we go is to be taught the word of God. The word of God is the knowledge of Christ. Are you following me? And the word of God impacts the knowledge of Christ. So you are here tonight to be impacted. Amen. And to be imparted with the knowledge of Christ. See, there is a particular knowledge called the knowledge of Christ. A particular knowledge. There are different kinds of knowledge. And there are different kinds of knowledge in the sense realm. But there is what is called the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ is the knowledge that reveals Christ. The knowledge of Christ is the knowledge that talks about a person. One person. His name is Christ. It is the knowledge that concerns this person that we call the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This knowledge of Christ gives you insight into God. Hallelujah. So when you receive the knowledge of Christ, you are receiving insight into God. And this knowledge of Christ is the knowledge about a person. That person is Christ Jesus. So, last week we ended by saying that Hebrews chapter 12 says that looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It means that the more you look unto Jesus, the more you discover what faith is. And the more you look unto Jesus, the more you discover what your faith is. Hallelujah. So it says, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he is the beginning, or the beginner, the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, looking unto Jesus. So the more you look unto Jesus, the more you know what faith is. The more you look unto Jesus, the more you know what kind of life that God wants you to live. The kind of life God wants you to live is with Jesus. Hallelujah. And the knowledge of this person reveals this person to you. So that, because, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you following me? So the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of a person in you. It means that the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of a person in a person. If we come for watching this conference, we say that there is a person in a person. The person who is in us is called Christ. And the knowledge of Christ is the knowledge of the person who is in you. So you are not an ordinary person. You are not alone. You are with Christ Jesus. Are you following? So the knowledge of Christ is the knowledge that concerns this person that is in you. Say, Christ is in me. Say, there is a person in me. Hallelujah. And the knowledge of Christ is a superhuman knowledge. It's not an ordinary knowledge. There is a knowledge called sense knowledge. What you learn at school is sense knowledge. Hallelujah. What you learn at school is sense knowledge. But the knowledge that you receive in the church from the word of God is called the knowledge of Christ. Why is it important that you receive this knowledge? Because when you get born again, you've received this person inside you. So the knowledge of this person will let you live like that person. Are you following me? When you get born again, you've received Christ into you. The knowledge of Christ, of this person who is inside you. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is a superhuman knowledge. It means that anybody who is carrying this knowledge lives above the world and lives above the senses. It means the person who carries this knowledge lives above men. And live above this world. Why? There is a knowledge that is imparted into you when you come to a conference like this. There's a knowledge that is imparted into you when you go to church. Then there's a knowledge that is imparted to you from the world. There's a knowledge of the world. The knowledge of the world gives you reason why you should be sick. The knowledge of the world gives you reason and explains to you why. It gives you reason why you should be poor. And I've said it over and over, that in Christ Jesus there is no poor person. The reason why there is no poor person is because we are in the one who is the richest of riches. His name is Christ. So when you get born again, Christ steps into you. As long as Christ is in you, you can't be described as poor. To describe yourself as poor is to describe Christ as poor. Or to describe something as impossible is to say that Christ, there is something impossible to Christ. Why? Because your life is defined by this person called Christ who is in you. Shout hallelujah. So, see, the knowledge of Christ is what? Superhuman knowledge. It is a superhuman knowledge that we receive when we come to church. It is not a knowledge we receive the word of God and go home and sleep. No. It's a working knowledge. Look at someone, tell the person, it's a working knowledge. Say, it's a working knowledge. And this knowledge enables you to live above the sense realm, to live above the world. The knowledge of this world gives you reasons why certain you are limited in certain areas of your life and why you should be limited. The knowledge of this world gives you certain reasons why certain things are not possible. Oh, hallelujah. Reason why you should be discouraged at a point in time. But the knowledge of Christ gives you reason to be courageous. The knowledge of Christ gives you reason why all things are possible unto you. It is not a statement. It's a reality. So you see, God looks at Christ in you to define who you are. Why? Because see, when you get born again, it's not just that you have gone to church and then you have confessed Jesus, my Lord. No. Somebody steps inside you. His name is the Holy Ghost. He's also the presence of Christ. So when the Holy Ghost steps inside you, as some of you are speaking in tongues, moko, 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 the Holy Ghost is in you. There is a person in you called the Holy Ghost. Now, that Holy Ghost that is in you is the presence of Christ. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And I've explained here that where the spirit of a person is, that person is there. Are you following? So when this person steps into you, you receive his knowledge. The knowledge you receive here at World Changers Conference every time, it's a knowledge about this person who dwells in you. Shout hallelujah. So, it is not that you have come to church, we preach, then you go home. No. No. We are giving you a particular kind of knowledge. It is a supernatural kind of knowledge. It's a knowledge that gives you reason to walk in health and to heal. Hallelujah. It's a knowledge that brings you to a particular way of understanding, of thinking, of acting, that things do not become impossible unto you. It's a knowledge. A knowledge about a person that all things are possible unto, who has stepped into you. That person's knowledge is what we give to you, so that you can walk with the conscience of that person in you and decide that all things are possible unto this person who is in me, all things are possible unto me. Why? Because God defines who you are by this person who is in you. In the mind of God, you are not what the world calls you. In the mind of God, you are what God calls you in Christ Jesus. So God looks at Christ Jesus in you, or the Christ who is in you, to define who you are. That is why he calls you sons of God. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are called what? The sons of God. Why? Because Christ is the Son of God, the first Son of God. So as long as he is in you, God looks at you and defines you by him. God defines what you have by what Christ has. That's why I said there is no poor Christian, because God defines what you have by what Christ has. God defines what you can do by what Christ can do. It means that to God, what you can do is not based on your own abilities, but what you can do is based on Christ's abilities at work in you. What you can do in the mind of God, listen very carefully, it's very important. It's a knowledge. Say it's a knowledge. Say, I'm a champion in Christ Jesus. I cannot be defeated in Christ Jesus. I am blessed in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God looks at the person who lives in you. Say, Christ is living in me. Say, I'm living in Christ. Say, Christ is living in me. So, to God, what you can do is based on what Christ can do. Think about it. To God, what you can do is based on what Christ can do. Because you don't just get born again. You get born again because of Christ. So your whole life is centered around this person. So to God, what you can do is based on what Christ can do. To God, what you have is based on what Christ has. Hallelujah. To God, who you are is based on who Christ is. To God. So in the mind of God, he defines you by Christ. That is the same way when you receive this knowledge in your mind, you define yourself by Christ. You see Christ in you. That is why it says looking unto Jesus. Not looking unto Moses. Not looking unto your boss at work. Why? Because God has carried, as far as God is concerned, he has carried us out of the realm of limitations. He has brought us to a particular place in Christ. He has brought us into a particular person. We are in the person of Christ. Say, I am in the person of Christ. Are you following me? So, you are in the person of Christ. The person of Christ is in you. It says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Looking unto Jesus. So the more you see Jesus, the more you know what your faith is. The more you know what your faith can do. The more you see Jesus. How do you see Jesus? By his knowledge. The knowledge of Christ shows you Jesus. The knowledge of Christ shows you Christ. Shabakole bahasia. Are you following me? The reason why you cannot be defeated is because there is somebody who lives in you. And you live in that person and you cannot be defeated. Because that person who lives in you cannot be defeated. The reason why you can't define your life by any circumstance of this world, or wherever you find yourself, whatever you find yourself in, whatever situation, is because it's too late. The reason why it's too late is because there is a person inside you who rules over circumstances. There are people who say, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That manner of man is in you. That manner of man they were talking about by his resurrection is in you.
Oh, shout hallelujah.
It's too late for the economies of this world to bring you down. It's too late. It's too late for you to be financially bankrupt. It's too late. When you hear this thing, it's operational. Hallelujah. And that is what faith does. Faith puts to work the knowledge of Christ. See, there is a relation between faith and the knowledge of Christ. Last week I said it here that the knowledge of Christ makes faith effective. Our faith. The gift of... Open to 1 John. The reason why you cannot be disappointed. You don't say that I was disappointed. Disappointed by who? It's too late. The times you were disappointed, you did not know. So he says, my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. You don't know what you can do with Christ in you. And with you in Christ, that knowledge. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Open to 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. So, see, so there is a relation between knowledge and faith. Knowledge, or the knowledge of Christ. See, when you are born again, you receive what is called the faith of Christ. The measure of faith. Praise God. That faith that you have received into your spirit, like I explained last week, is operative, is effective, is active by the knowledge of Christ that you receive. So the knowledge of Christ activates your faith. The knowledge of Christ activates your faith. The faith you have received does not grow. Our faith does not grow. Now, if anybody teaches you that faith grows, look at who the person is using as his example. If the person uses Christ Jesus as an example, then that faith he's talking about doesn't grow. But when a person uses Abraham or Noah as example, then you should know that that faith that he's talking about is the faith of Noah and Abraham, and it's not a gift. Our faith is a gift of faith. See, there's the 9 gifts of the Spirit, where the gift of faith is there. But there is the faith that is imparted into your spirit when you are saved, also called the gift, which is also a gift, which is called the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. The measure of faith. I explained it last week here. Now, that faith that you have received now, so as you are here right now, you have faith. That faith you have in your spirit is active or operative by the knowledge of Christ. The faith you have received becomes more operative. The more you receive more light. The more the light, the more operative your faith is. Your faith is activated. The faith you have in your spirit right now is activated by the knowledge of Christ. The faith you have in your spirit right now is activated by the knowledge of Christ. You understand? The faith you have in your spirit right now is activated by the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a relation between faith and the knowledge of Christ. Faith is activated by the knowledge of Christ. Then the knowledge of Christ activates faith. Then faith makes proof of the knowledge of Christ. So you receive the knowledge of Christ. What gives you proofs? Answers, results, as you put the knowledge of Christ to work, is faith. So one activates the other, one produces proofs out of the other. Did you hear that? Knowledge activates your faith. Knowledge activates your faith. Your faith, which is in your spirit right now, produces proofs through the knowledge of Christ. So, faith is in your spirit. The faith is in my spirit. Say, the God kind of faith is in my spirit. The Christ kind of faith is in my spirit. Now, 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4.
1 John.
Luke chapter 17. Someone to open Luke chapter 17. It's very important we understand this message of faith. Your Christian life cannot be effective without faith. Your Christian life cannot produce proofs, results without faith. I say faith is a proof producer. Where faith steps in, proofs come. But you see, the knowledge of Christ, that's why I said that the knowledge of Christ does not grow faith. It depends on which faith the person is talking about. Because Noah is not our example. That's why I've said it over and over that Noah is an example. Christ Jesus is our perfect example. There's a difference. That is why it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, the one who began faith and has raised faith to its perfection, Jesus, and has become an example for us when it comes to the message of faith. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Read 1 John quickly. The God kind of faith.
The God kind of faith.
Say the Christ kind of faith.
The Christ kind
of faith. Say it is my kind of faith. Okay, quickly.
1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Uh-huh. I'm reading from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever is... Are you born of God? It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Obed, finish reading it quickly.
Mm-hmm. And this is the victory that overcometh the world,
mm-hmm.
even our faith.
Mm-hmm. So it says that, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. To overcome means to subdue. It means to dominate. It says, whatsoever is born of God subdues the world. The systems of the world. The economies of the world.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The knowledge of the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes. The word overcome means to subdue, to dominate, to bring something under control. So it says, if you are born of God, you bring the world under control. Say, I'm born of God. Whatsoever is born of God. So, being born again, it's not just I've gone to church, I'm a member of a church. It's beyond that. Being born again positions you to be an overcomer by birth. You are an overcomer of the world by birth. As long as you are born again, the world is under your control. It means that you rule over the world. You rule over the sicknesses of the world. You rule over the demons of the world. You rule over the economies of this world. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes this world. Then he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So, you are born again. Hallelujah. You overcome this world. It says, faith is the victory that overcomes. So, what makes you experience that overcome, or that overcoming that is talking about, is your faith. Faith puts you in a line of victory. Faith puts you in a position of victory. It means you rule over this world because you are born again. But you can now experience that rulership. They which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, it says, shall reign in the God kind of life. When you reign in the God kind of life, you act like God. Shall reign. Then he says that faith is the one that puts you there. You are already an overcomer. What makes you experience is by faith. Go to Hebrews 11. Let me explain something there quickly. So faith is the victory. Faith is the success that overcomes the world. So by your faith, you can now experience that overcoming life that you have. Are you following what I'm saying? When you understand the knowledge of Christ, you receive the knowledge of Christ, you understand the message of faith, you can't see impossibles. What you see changes. See, in Christianity, what you see is very important. That's why the Bible says, we should not look at that which we see. We should look at that which you do not see. So, in Christianity, what you see is important. What are you seeing? The more you see Christ, the more your faith becomes operative. The more you see Christ in you, the more your faith becomes operative. The more you see Christ in you, do you know that person? who is in you called Christ. That's what Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say, there is a person in me. Say, Christ dwells in me.
Christ dwells in my spirit.
I dwell in Christ.
I live in Christ.
Christ lives in me. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So faith is the victory. Your faith that you have is the victory. Look. Quickly, Obed. Go to Luke before you go to Hebrews. He says that the disciples told Jesus, they said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. The disciples told Jesus, they said, increase our faith. Then Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And last week I talked about this, that this faith as a grain of mustard seed is the God kind of faith that we have in our spirit. That faith as a grain of mustard seed doesn't grow. When it is imparted into you, it can do impossible things. That is why it says that if you have this kind of... Look into your Bibles quickly. Please.
Luke chapter 17 verse 6. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this...
It says, ye might say unto this sycamine tree,
be thou plucked up by the roots.
Be thou plucked up by the roots and planted in the sea. He says, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The disciples said, increase our faith. Now, I'm taking you somewhere. Follow me. Say, I'm following. I want to see people who do things. Christians who know how to do things without fear. There can't be fear in you and faith in you. There is faith in your spirit. Why are you afraid? Because the knowledge of this world has taken over your mind. Say, I refuse to be afraid. Say, it says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and I have said that when you are born again, you have received this faith. The disciples did not have this faith because Jesus had not resurrected. By his resurrection, when you believe in him, this faith is imparted into you. The same faith that Jesus had, for which the disciples saw that he was casting out demons, and they couldn't cast one demon out at one time. The same faith that Jesus had, the disciples saw that he spoke to a tree and the tree dried up from the roots. They were shocked. They said, Master, increase our faith. They thought they needed more faith. But Jesus said, no, you don't need more faith. He says, if you have this small faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, or you shall say to this mulberry tree. That's what the new NIV says. But the King James says, you shall say to this sycamine tree, it's a very big tree. One of the biggest trees. That was what Jesus was discussing. You shall say to this tree, move from here, or be uprooted by the roots, and be planted in the sea. That is the same thing that John was saying when he says that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And he says our faith is able to control the world. Jesus said, if you have this small kind of faith, you control the tree. He says, you shall say to this tree, be uprooted and be planted. When we got born again, he imparted this same faith into us. The more we receive knowledge, the more this faith becomes operative. That is why if you're a Christian and you don't receive knowledge, you are like, you are just like somebody who's not born again. Whatever affects anybody who's not born again affects you. The things you should have dominion over by faith has dominion over you. Shout hallelujah. He says that if you have this kind of faith, which you have now. See, I have this kind of faith. It is the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Say, it is the faith as a grain of mustard seed. It says, you will say to a tree that is planted, be uprooted. And be planted in the sea. Be uprooted by the roots. Shout hallelujah. It says, you will say to this tree, you will say. See, in Christianity, we don't call on God to come and do something. No. The God kind of faith does the God kind of things. The God kind of faith does the God kind of things. The God kind of faith does the God kind of things. And what are the God kind of things? I'll explain to you as we go forward. I want you to live your life as a champion. We are not afraid of limitations. We can change limitations to unlimitations. Why? By who? By virtue of in who we are. By virtue of who is inside us. We are champions because of the person in whom we dwell. This is a house. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it says, you shall say to this tree. Paul says that whatsoever is born of God overcomes. He says, this is the victory that overcomes our faith. He says, our faith is able to subdue this world. Bring the world under control. Bring sicknesses under our control. Bring demons under our control. He says, our faith brings demons under our control. Bring sin under our control. Bring sicknesses under our control. Bring money under our control. Bring contracts under our control. Bring business under our control. That's what he was saying. It subdues this world. Then Jesus. So what Jesus was saying was the same thing that John was saying. The same thing. Jesus says, if you have this kind of faith, you will say to this mountain, be uprooted by the roots. It means you will be directing the mountain. You'll be directing the tree. Be uprooted by the roots. Be planted in the sea. Then the tree will be uprooted by the roots and planted in the sea. Why? Because you said so. Because you did what? So you said so through faith. That is what the kind of faith that you have received can do. Are you following? The kind of faith that you have received, this is what it can do. Don't call on, some people, they call on God, deliver you out of what? He says, you shall speak to this, it means that you shall, if it's a demonic, you shall speak to this demon. And the demon will hear. You shall speak to this sickness, the sickness will hear. You shall speak to your body will hear you. The God kind of faith, circumstances, situations, sicknesses, demons, things, respond to this God kind of faith. Can I show you an example? Jesus walked on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever he met as a situation, as a circumstance, he spoke to. He spoke to. That was what marveled the disciples. They saw that the man, who is this man? He cast out devils, devils leave. Sicknesses, lay hands on sickness, spirits of infirmity, they all ran away. They will say, we've been working with this man. He's doing great, great things. We can do some. They said, increase our faith. Master, increase. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, you don't need an increased faith. You need a mustard seed faith. And when Jesus arose from the dead, they received the mustard seed faith. You can see an example. Jesus and Acts of the Apostles. What is the difference? The Bible says, and Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, did miracles. He did not need God to come and do. He did miracles. See. Hallelujah. Say, I am supernatural in kind. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 quickly. When we say miracles, when we say these things, people think that miracles are for some special men of God. No, I've explained this thing here. That it says, for we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, unto miraculous works of power. The reason why, I see, when you sit down with somebody to do something, he cannot disappoint you, is because of this knowledge. There is a knowledge, this knowledge works. It's not, we go to church, God, please help me. Let this contract boom. Let this business. See, one day Jesus went to preach. As he was preaching, he sat on somebody's boat. His name was Peter. Peter was a businessman, a fisherman. He said, the Bible says, he had toiled all the night, did not have anything. Peter, Peter had toiled all the night and had nothing to show the whole night. When the Master Jesus, another name for Jesus was Master. They called him Master because he was master over everything. Mastery. That person who is Jesus, who we say he was master over everything, it is that same person that after resurrection has come to indwell you. Do you know what that means? We are champions. It doesn't matter what we experience, we are champions. See, when you understand this thing I'm sharing with you, from this year, To up the next 3 years, people will marvel at you. Why? Listen. When Jesus met Peter, who had toiled all the night and had nothing to show, he did not pray. He did not say, Peter, pray to God. My Father, he will hear you. Go and pray. No. The man with the kind of faith he had, which he says that we have that kind of faith now, the mustard seed faith, the God kind of faith. I said the God kind of faith is the Christ kind of faith. The Christ kind of faith is the church's kind of faith. When he met Peter, Peter said, he says, draw your net and have a catch. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all this night. We had nothing. Then he said, nevertheless, at thy word, the words that Jesus spoke by faith changed changed his business. Changed what he had toiled all the night and had nothing. The words that the master spoke by faith changed the whole thing. And the man who had toiled all the night and had nothing, all of a sudden, began to enclose great multitudes of fishes, the Bible says. And began to call partners. They should come. There's too much, it's too plenty. Come and take some. One word from the master in faith. One word from the master in faith. One word from the master in faith changed that man's business. Your business can change by your word in faith. That's what I'm telling you. That issue that is compounding. This issue is too big for me. It's because you don't know these things. The issue that we are praising and making it Lord over your life is lesser. As long as God is concerned and Christ in you is concerned. The master spoke one word. Peter's business changed totally. And the man was so much shocked that he left the whole business and began to follow Jesus. He had met a man who could make impossible things possible. He had met a man who could change his business with the word. So he left the business to follow that man. What am I telling you? There is no circumstance big enough for you. Why? Because you have the God kind of faith to speak to that circumstance. Then you have Christ in you. Do you know what it means when we say Christ is in you? I'll explain. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 quickly. Verse 1. See, I want to go home fully packed. Fully packed. I am bigger than this thing that is tormenting me. I'm bigger than this thing that is giving me headaches. Why? I am bigger in Christ. Greater is he that is in you. There is a person in you. It says greater is he. It's a person in you. There is a person called Christ in your spirit. There is a faith of God in your spirit. What is faith? Go to Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1.
The knowledge of Christ. Say the knowledge of Christ.
The knowledge of Christ.
It's the knowledge of a person in me. Is the knowledge of a person who lives in me.
Is the knowledge of a person who lives in me.
Say Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in
and me. I live in Christ.
And I live in Christ.
His knowledge is what I'm receiving right now.
It can change anything.
And nothing shall be impossible unto you. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1.
Oh,
now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
The evidence of things not seen.
The evidence of things not seen. So, okay, now listen. I want to explain to you what faith is. Praise God. I want you to follow me closely. I want to explain to you what faith is. What faith is. In the New Testament, what is faith? When we say you are walking by faith now, what are we saying now? When we say you are walking by faith, you are born again, you have faith, you are living by faith. What are we saying? Our walk is a walk of faith. Praise God. Now he says, Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I call this the universal definition of faith. When Paul put this thing and explained faith is the substance, I said that he meant two things. One, the faith by which the elders obtained a good report, and the faith of the Christian with which the Christian does things. Hallelujah. I've explained it the first time we talked about faith. I explained it. But you see, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. It means that now, if you are writing, you can write A, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Then B, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Shout hallelujah. You are blessed to be here tonight. If this is the only message you listen to, it will start a revolution in you. It will spark a revolution in you. Hallelujah. So say, write it down. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. A, B. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You realize that when Paul gave this definition, after that, he explained a lot of things about the elders. How the elders obtained a good report. And he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And gave us an example like Noah. Hallelujah. And the prophets. And all those men. But you should understand that in the New Testament, Christ is in you. Now listen. Your life is defined by this Christ. That's why I say that to God, who you are is not who your mother calls you. It's not who your boss calls you. Who you are to God is who Christ is in you. Did you get that? Now, we say faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to the things hoped for. Now, there are two kinds of hope in the New Testament. There is hope, or ordinary hope. Then there is blessed hope, or purifying hope. Write it down. Two kinds of hope. Quickly. There are two kinds of hope in the New Testament. That's what is called purifying hope, or blessed hope, or blessed hope, however you mention it. And then there is ordinary hope, or you can write just hope. There's one hope, two, blessed hope, or blessed hope, and purifying hope. Now let me just go to this one. The purifying hope, or the blessed hope. Titus chapter 3. And then 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. In Titus chapter something from you. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Someone should open 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. Someone should open Titus. Who has opened 1 John chapter 3 verse 3?
1 John chapter 3 verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
And every man that had this hope in him, mm-hmm. in him, mm-hmm. purified himself.
Start from verse 1.
1 John chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Behold,
mm-hmm.
what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us,
mm-hmm.
that we should be called the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore the world knoweth us not,
mm-hmm.
because it knew him not.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God,
mm-hmm.
and it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him,
mm-hmm.
for we shall see him as he is.
For we shall see him as he is. Uh-huh.
And every man that
has everyone that has
this hope in him
purifies himself,
even as he is pure.
So it is called a purifying hope. He says, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Blessed hope, purifying hope, talks about the coming of Jesus. Talking about a hope that has nothing to do with your faith. That one, whether you have faith or you don't have faith, Christ will come. So we call that blessed hope, or blessed hope. That is a hope that an expectation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you understand it? Do you understand it? So there is an expectation. Have you got the Titus chapter 2 verse 13?
Titus chapter 2 verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
While we wait for the blessed hope.
While we wait for the blessed hope.
Uh-huh. The glorious appearing of our great God
the
and
glorious
Savior.
Appearing of our great God and Savior. So we are talking about Christ Jesus. His glorious appearing. He's coming back. Christ Jesus is coming back. How many of you know that? And because he's coming back, we have hope as the church. The church has hope that Jesus is coming back. We call that hope, blessed hope. That one, whether you have faith or you don't have faith, you come. It's not dependent on your faith. He's going to come. So, 1 John says that, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. See, because of that, the world does not know us because he knew him not. And said that anybody who has this thing, that Jesus Christ is coming back, has this hope in himself. And that hope is that Jesus is coming back. And that hope is called a purifying hope. So he says that that person has this hope in himself and purifies himself even as he is pure. Christ is pure. Shout hallelujah. So it is called a purifying hope, an expectation that Jesus is coming. But that is there. Then there is what is called ordinary hope or hope. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 quickly. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Quickly. I want to show you something before we close.
1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3.
Uh-huh.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus
Blessed
Christ.
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Which according to his abundant
according
mercy has begotten
his
us.
Abundant mercy has begotten us. Unto. Uh-huh.
Which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope.
Unto a lively hope. Shout
by the
amen.
Resurrection of Jesus Christ.
It says that according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we've been begotten to what he calls a lively hope. If you have, you can write it, a lively hope. I'm showing you what the ordinary hope is. Now, look here before I continue with the hope. When we say faith is the substance of things hoped for. It means that faith gives substance to what you hope for. Faith gives substance to what you hope for. What does it mean to hope for something? To expect something. Faith gives substance to your expectation. So, whatever you expect, faith gives substance. When we say faith gives substance, it means that faith brings you from the realm of hoping to the realm of having. That's what faith does. So when you are hoping for something, you are expecting that thing. When you are expecting something, it's more or less in the future. Maybe you expect something to happen tomorrow. It's in the future. Faith is taking what is supposed to happen tomorrow and making it happen now. So faith gives substance. Faith makes tangible what you are hoping for. Or faith materializes what you are hoping for. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, it means that you have what you hope for. But hope will not get you anything. I'm explaining something, just follow. Hope will not get you anything. What will get you what you are hoping for is your faith. Hallelujah. You are expecting to heal your mother. When you are hoping, I'll heal my mother. You are hoping. She will not be healed. Are you listening? What will heal her? Is when you stop expecting that she be healed. And then faith is making that healing a reality. In other words, you go to do an action that will make her be healed. So faith makes tangible what you are hoping. You've been hoping that your mother is healed. Or she is healed. Faith moves you from the realm of hope to where the healing has taken place. That's what your faith does. If I ask you right now, how many of you want to receive things from God? You lift up your hands. You want to receive things from God. Hallelujah. You want to receive things from God. I want to receive this thing from God. I want God to give me this thing. That's not what faith does. Faith makes tangible what you've been hoping for. Faith cannot begin an operation when you are not hoping for anything. You have to hope. What you are hoping for or what you are expecting to happen happens when faith steps in. In other words, by your faith or through your faith, that which you are expecting to happen, you make it happen. So when we say faith is the substance of things hoped for, it means that there is already a hope somewhere. And based on that hope, you materialize what you have been hoping for. Or you make manifest what you've been hoping for. Because if all that you do is just to hope, to be expecting, nothing happens by just expecting. Something happens when faith is put to work. When faith is put to work, then that which you are expecting moves from the realm of expectation to the realm of having. So faith pulls hope into reality. Hope is future. Are you following? So you are hoping that one day, you will no longer have attacks again. You are hoping that one day, you will no longer have attacks again. Or one day, this and this will happen. That is hoping. Nothing happens as long as we are hoping. Hope is important, but nothing happens as long as we are hoping. Your faith, which you now have in you, is made active. When that faith is made active, then that which you are expecting to happen one day, begins to happen. So faith gives substance to what you are hoping for. Now listen. In the New Testament, the hope of the church is defined. Listen, it's very important. In the New Testament, the hope of the church or the Christian is defined in Christ. Why? Christ is in us. Paul says that Christ in us, the hope of glory. So anybody who is born again has Christ in him. The hope of that person who is born again, who has Christ in him, is glory. Are you following? Now he says that God who has begotten us again unto a lively hope. In other words, when we were born again, we were born unto a lively hope. When you were born again, your hope was defined already. Why? Because you believed in a person. The person you believed in stepped into you, Christ. So, 1 Peter says that he has begotten us unto a lively hope. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 quickly.
17.
Verse 17. Mm-hmm. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ,
quickly,
Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation
and
in the knowledge of him.
In the knowledge of him,
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Be enlightened.
That ye may know what is the hope of his calling.
That ye may know. So listen, if you are writing notes, you've written down purifying hope. You're writing down hope again, ordinary hope. You write down the 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Then you write down Ephesians chapter 1 verse what? 17. 17 reading downwards. On hope. I want to explain something that's very important. What has made the church to sit down and wait for God to come and do something? It's what has made the church look like a defeated church. He said, faith is the victory. We are victorious beings. When you are born again, you are a victorious person. We are not sitting down waiting for God one day to come and do something. God has not done it, so let's be waiting. You will keep waiting. That is just hoping. It will not do anything. It is good. But you will just be hoping. Your faith will make that which you are hoping come. Hallelujah. Now listen.
Robert, quickly read it. Ephesians chapter 1.
Verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. Mm-hmm. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Being enlightened.
That you may know what is the hope of his calling.
That you may know what is the hope of his... Are you people looking into the Bible? He says, number one, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says that he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So if you are born again, you are begotten unto a lively hope. It means your hope is defined already. Defined by who? By Christ. He calls that hope a lively hope. Then Ephesians says that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know, that you may become aware of what is the hope of your calling. So there is a hope of your calling. Now you've been called into Christ. There is a hope of that calling. Paul says that he prays that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened, so that we may do what? We may know what is the hope of this calling. I explained it last time. Or the hope of his calling, which is glory. But then he defines our hope here again is that we may know what is the hope of his calling. That we may know. That was what he was saying. That we may know. That we may become aware. Paul said that he was praying that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened so that we become aware of the hope of his calling. So he wanted us to be aware that there is a hope in our calling. So we have a hope which is defined in Christ. Are you following? Now, we have a hope that is defined in Christ. That means that if faith is the substance of things hoped for, and our hope is defined in Christ, see, and Christ is in us, and our hope is defined in Christ, then what is faith? Because faith is the substance of what we hope for. What we hope for is in Christ. How can we now see what we are hoping for in manifestation? It says through faith. So faith is giving substance to what you are hoping for. And this hope that you are hoping for is defined in the New Testament in Christ. He calls that hope a lively hope. He calls that hope that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened so that we become aware of this particular hope. And the Bible says, this hope make us not ashamed. That is when Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, it says, and hope maketh us not ashamed. Why? Because the hope that we have is a hope of glory. You can't have glory and shame at the same time. You understand? So the hope we have.
All right, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Mm-hmm. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you.
Which is Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory. So if you are writing hope under the ordinary hope or hope, you can write that one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul here also defines what? Our hope. That because Christ is in us, our hope is a hope of glory. Now, we say faith is the substance of our hope. Now, if Christ lives in us, and our hope is a hope of glory, how can we see this hope in manifestation? We can only see, or we can give substance to this, our hope, which has been defined by us in Christ, defined for us in Christ, by manifesting Christ. Why? Because Christ is the hope of glory. If you want to see this hope in manifestation, the hope in manifestation is glory. Are you following me? I'm teaching you something. See, there is a hope given to the church. Now, faith is the substance, or faith gives substance to this hope. As long as we are hoping for glory, we wouldn't experience glory. We would only hope for glory. We will have Christ in us and hope for glory. And keep expecting that glory happens, or glory manifests in our life. But glory will not manifest in our life until we give substance to the hope. This hope is the hope that has been defined in Christ, which Peter says a lively hope, which Paul says that Christ in us, the hope of glory. If Christ is in us, the hope of glory, then it means that we, all of us here, we have a hope of glory. That is an expectation of glory. God's expectation about us is glory. Our expectation of ourselves in Christ is glory. But we cannot experience this hope, or we cannot experience this glory, until we give substance to our faith, which is in us. When we give substance to this faith, Christ is in manifestation. Whenever Christ is in manifestation, this hope moves from the realm of hope to the realm of experience. In other words, when our faith gives substance to this hope, it means that our faith is manifesting Christ. When our faith manifests Christ, hope is no longer hope to us. Hope becomes an experience to us. So it means that when faith gives substance to what we are hoping for, we will begin to experience glory. When faith gives substance to what we are hoping for, we will begin to do what? Experience glory. Until faith gives substance to what we are hoping for, we still hope for it. As long as we are hoping for it, we wouldn't experience what this hope is. And what is this hope? Glory. So faith gives substance to this hope. Shout hallelujah. Faith gives substance to this hope, which is a hope of glory. How does faith give that substance? Faith gives substance to this hope by manifesting Christ. It means that in the New Testament, faith is simply the manifestation of Christ. Whenever Christ is manifested, glory is seen. Wherever Christ is not manifested, we are still hoping for glory. As long as the church is hoping for glory, we wouldn't see the victory of the church. But see, we have Christ. Say, I have Christ in me. When I manifest Christ, I'm no longer hoping. When I manifest Christ, I have given substance to what I'm hoping for. See, all those things you want to see happening wouldn't come from God. They will come from you. The reason they wouldn't come from God is because, see, Christ is the fullness of God. If you want God to do something for you and you are in Christ, you are in the fullness of God. Faith is a movement in God. Faith is not God come and do. The reason why God do not come and do because God is already in you. How is he in you? Through Christ. So the Bible says Christ is the fullness of God. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 to 10. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. So, Christ is the fullness of God. Say, Christ is the fullness of God. Now say, Christ is in me. Now, if Christ is the fullness of God and Christ is in you, who is in you? The fullness of God is in you. The God you are calling to come and do something has already indwelled you in the person of Christ. So what is he expecting from you? To manifest him by your faith. Are you following? So the New Testament teaches, the Old Testament teaches that God will come and do. God promised Noah, he's coming to do. But the New doesn't teach that way. God has arrived in Christ Jesus. So as long as Christ Jesus is in you, God is in you. Instead of looking for God to come and get something for you, you get something for yourself through God. And that's what I'm going to teach right now. And that is how Jesus says, for the Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. Jesus did things through the Spirit. The Bible says he gave instructions through the Spirit. He gave instructions through God. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, faith is the manifestation of Christ. Faith is the manifestation of Christ. Because when Christ is manifested, you have given substance to what you are hoping for. Or you've given substance to what your hope is in Christ. So, God defines the hope of the church. Hope. It is not, I want this to happen. I want this to happen. No. When you understand faith as the manifestation of Christ, you wouldn't just say, I want things to happen. You make things happen. Why? Because you come to realize that there is a person in you. You manifest that person. Whenever Christ is in manifestation, nothing can stand him. And Christ is in manifestation by our faith. So, when I say faith, what is faith? Faith is the manifestation of Christ. Now, there is this person who walked on this earth. His name was Jesus Christ. When he walked on this earth, things obeyed him. Wherever he went to, he spoke to... Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, he spoke to things. When he saw that he had something that was not sufficient, he spoke to it and multiplied it. When he wanted something, he spoke and released it. Jesus did not want anything and went to God and said, God, please give us something. Where did you see that in the Bible? Do you know who we are? We are who Christ is. We are in this Christ. Now, when he walked on this earth, he multiplied things. When he walked on this earth, he spoke to trees, they obeyed. Spoke to winds, they obeyed. Spoke to demons, they obeyed. By his faith. When he died, he was raised from the dead. When he was raised from the dead, he came again, doing things. The Bible says that he showed himself to the disciples after the resurrection for 40 days and did things. In the book of John, he met Peter fishing again after his resurrection. He says, children, have ye any meat? John chapter 21. They said, no. He says, cast the net to the right hand, you'll find. When they cast the net to the right hand, they find the meat that they've been looking for. Then Peter said, it is the master. All of a sudden, he recognized that this is Jesus. It's only Jesus who can say that this thing should come, and it comes. When he arose from the dead, that is what he did. And the Bible says that he did so much miracles that the books of this earth cannot contain. The books of all the libraries in town cannot contain. He did so much miracles. Do you know why? I'll show you. See, so when he arose from the dead and did things, the Bible says that he ascended on high. He was raised and set in heavenly place at the right hand of God. How many of you have heard that? That Jesus was set at the right hand of God. Or he has been set at the right hand of God. Now that he is set at the right hand of God, listen. He's not only that he's set at the right hand of God, he's also seated in you. How? By his Spirit. If you've not been coming for watching, you understand that I explained this thing about the mystery of Christ. When I said that the spirit of a person is that person. So as Obed is sitting down here, when his spirit leaves his body and comes into me, Obed is in me. As long as the spirit is in me, he's in me. Do you understand that? So the spirit of a person is that person. The spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. And Romans chapter 8 says that, it says what? If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit shall vitalize your mother. It says, if anybody does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So where the spirit of Christ is there. Why? Because the spirit of a person is the person. Now, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. But by his spirit, which dwells in us, he is in us. Are you following? If you don't come for watching this conference, the time you will be flying, you will be walking. Because you wouldn't know what we are doing. Why? We are not just gathering people to give them word. We are raising champions. We are raising people who can come in contact with the situation and know how to handle this thing. And not look for man of God anything. Why? Because we are raising people who understand the way Christ operated. And why he could operate that way. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So now that he's set at the right hand of God, far above every principality and power, the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2. It's not just that he's set at the right hand of God. But by virtue of the presence of the Holy Ghost, Christ, the one who is set at the right hand of God, is also in you. Now, this Christ that is in you right now, after resurrection, before resurrection, did a lot of things. Countless things, miracles, healings, all kinds of things. And now he has resurrected. And now he's seated. In order to continue what he's been doing, he dwells in you. So, when we talk about faith as the manifestation of Christ, the first thing is that comes to your mind that you are living in Christ because Christ is in you and you are in Christ. The second thing is that faith is manifesting this Christ who lives in you.
Hallelujah.
To manifest this Christ who lives in you now, you need your faith. Wherever Christ is in manifestation, the same miracles that we see is the same miracles that we will see now. But it's going to be in manifestation through us by our faith. So there is a person in you. Look at someone, tell the person, there's a person in you. He is Christ. He is the same person. Listen. Tell somebody, listen. There is a difference between understanding that Christ sits at the right hand of God and is far above all principalities and powers. And having an understanding of that same Christ that is seated at the right hand of God in you. There's a difference. If Christ sits at the right hand of God, you can go and do things in his name. But when you discover that the same person that is set at the right hand of God, that all powers and authorities and principalities are under, is inside you, that makes your thinking change. Why? Because the person that is seated at the right hand is also presently inside you. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, this is the message that Paul understood. This is the message that the apostles understood after the resurrection of Jesus. They understood that even though Christ has been raised and set at the right hand of God, That same person is in all those who believe in him by his spirit, called the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that the Holy Ghost is in you? If the Holy Ghost is in you, Christ is in you. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Ghost that makes Christ present in you. It is the Holy Ghost that makes Christ present in you. So, if Christ is seated at the right hand of God, it is fine. Far above all principalities and powers, authorities, thrones, every name that is named. It is fine. But when that same Christ who is seated there also dwells in you, it becomes different to you. It means that you don't just enter any place. Wherever you enter with this same person who is set at the right hand of God far above. It means that in you, the highest authority that is seated at the right hand of God, the person with the highest authority now dwells in you. You didn't hear that. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, when we say faith is manifesting Christ, you should understand this. That Christ is a person. That person is set at the right hand of God. And that same person is in you. The same person that is set at the right hand of God is the same person that is in you by reason of the Holy Ghost. Or by reason of his spirit. Are you following? So, now that you have received the Holy Ghost, you have also received Christ in you. Because it is the Holy Ghost that makes the presence of Christ real to you. So when the Holy Ghost is in your spirit, Christ is also in your spirit. So that the same Christ that is set far above is the same Christ that is in you. What does faith do? Faith is manifestation of Christ. It means faith is manifestation of this person by his authority. So the same authority that Christ used in doing things after resurrection, that same authority is in you by reason of his presence in you. The reason why you can't face a situation and fail is because the Christ who dwells in you is the highest authority in town. The highest authority in heaven and on earth, the person who is holding that authority, that all the devils in hell and all men and demons are under, that person also dwells in you with that same authority. How many of you are following? So when we say faith is the manifestation of Christ, it means that faith is manifesting this person by his authority. In other words, you see, when Jesus said to the winds, "Quiet, be still," it was a statement of faith. You understand? But then let me show you what happened. His authority was at work through his faith. His authority. So when he said, "Quiet, be still," the winds and the winds heard what he said by his authority and obeyed. The winds obeyed his authority. When he met demons, they said, "Jesus, have you come to destroy us before our time?" You know, one day some people went to cast out demons. And they were not Christians. But they saw that Paul was casting out demons, and they went to cast out demons too. They were not Christians. Understand that. So that you are not afraid to cast out demons. They were not Christians. When they went to cast out demons, the Bible said that the demons pounced on them and beat them. And then the demon said, "Paul, I know." Then he said, "And Jesus, I know." Then he said, "Who are you?" So, listen. The demons knew Paul. The demons knew Jesus. The same Jesus the demon knew is the same Jesus who dwells in you now. When you come, the demons know you. You didn't hear that. See, let me tell you. When the word of God is coming, receive the word of God. Receive the word of God. Are you following? Don't let anything talk you out of. There are some people, when you are preaching the word, they are thinking about their own circumstances and situation. How is this man of God saying that we shouldn't pray? We shouldn't do this. No, I'm not saying don't pray. I'm showing you how to walk as a ruler by your faith. Because that is what our master did. I don't know who you are following. And I don't know who you are imitating. But I'm imitating my master. And that master is Christ. And that master I'm imitating is in me. And the knowledge of that master is what I'm receiving. The knowledge of the person who is in me is the knowledge I'm receiving. Is the knowledge I'm giving you right now. And because that person is in you, all his is in you with all his authority. Are you following me? So, authority is not apart from the Christian. That's what, at the point, the Bible says that we are seated together with him in heavenly place. You've heard that before. The reason why it says we are seated together in heavenly places is because he is in us and we are in him. The same way we are seated together with him in heavenly place is the same way we are seated together with him on this earth, with him. So when we enter, when we find ourselves in any circumstance, we have met the circumstance with the master. We are in that master. He is in us. The person we have met the circumstance with has all authority. Faith is expressing that authority. You understand? When you manifest Christ, you express him. And he is authority. Christ does not just have authority. He is authority. When he's seated at the right hand of God, he says, far above all principalities and powers. And all name that is named in this world and the world to come. That is why when that man says he will give you a contract, he cannot say no again and give it to another person. Why? Because that contract belongs to you. As long as you are coming with Christ, that contract belongs to you. The man said, you'll give me a job. He didn't give you. You didn't have to chase the man. No. You didn't have to. Why? Because you see, you are with Christ who has all authority. It means that you have all authority in him. It means when we say that you are walking by faith, it means you are walking in authority, in dominion, by reason of your understanding that there is a person in you who has all authority and you are in that same person. So you are not scared at demons. Say, I'm not scared at demons. Because the devil is our adversary. He's the only enemy we have. And that's why I explained to you the other day that there's what is called the spirit of infirmities. When you see sicknesses in people's body, the Bible calls it the spirit of infirmity. You are waiting to die of a sickness, you can't die of a sickness. It's too late. Why? Because you've come to realize that there are spirits of infirmity that are fitting on your body. And you've come to realize that there is a person in you who has authority. Your future is secure. You can't hear this thing and be the same. Why? Because your faith is activated by this knowledge. You know that you know that as tomorrow you wake up and you are going to work, you are not going alone. You used to go there as offer. You are not going as offer. You are going as offer in Christ. That Christ, you are going as offer in Christ. And that Christ has all authority. So you are working with Christ who has all authority. You are in him. And he is in you. And your life is defined by that same person. So his authority is your authority. You understand? As long as you are going that way, you can't be defeated. Have you forgotten what David did? When he was facing Goliath. He was going in the name of the Lord of hosts. He says, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He wasn't going in the name of David. But in the new creation, in Christianity, in the New Testament, we move in Christ. I've said it over and over again that don't just speak as prince. Speak as prince in Christ. There's a difference between speaking as prince and speaking as prince in Christ. You are speaking as a result of your understanding. You can say that this thing cannot affect me. You just said it. But all of a sudden, you see that there's a consciousness that comes to you. That you, I'm not just speaking, I'm in Christ. Then you can now boldly say again. Why? You are not just talking. Why? What you are saying is a release of authority by your faith. Why? He says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. So if you have Christ in you, and Christ is a person, and Christ has all the authority in you, then the only way of expressing that authority is by saying. And faith doesn't just speak. Faith speaks to specific things. Faith doesn't just speak. When you read the Bible, it says that you shall say to this mountain. Not that you shall just say. It says you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. It also says that you shall say to this sycamore tree, be uprooted by the roots and planted. So when you manifest Christ by faith, It means that when you speak to a demon, you say, move from this place and go somewhere. Why? You are moved. That is, Kalasa. That is faith at work. It is the manifestation of Christ. And so it is the manifestation of the person who has all authority. And so it is the manifestation of all authority. Cancer cannot stand you. So you are always thinking, there is somebody in my house who has this thing. Oh, Holy Ghost. You have changed asthma. You have moved asthma from somebody's heart or somebody's chest to another place. You have told asthma, remove from here to another place. That's what I'm saying. So faith speaks to specific things. Faith doesn't just speak. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Faith speaks to specific things. And faith in manifestation is the manifestation of Christ. What am I teaching you? I want you to come to a consciousness that there is a person inside you. The reason why your life is fully secured, and the reason why, no matter where you find yourself, you can still emerge as a champion, is because of this particular revelation. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, if Jesus did the same, and that Jesus is in you, what do you do with this Jesus who is in you? Coming to an understanding that this Jesus has all authority, far above every name. The man said, he will give you this. He didn't give you the thing. You are going home. Oh God, he has disappointed. No, he has not disappointed. He is about to change that to a testimony. Why? You are about to change that to a testimony. You are going to pray in the Holy Ghost. You are going to mention our first name. In the name of Jesus, I command you to release this job. Why? When you begin to say, I command you. All the forces, see, we are supernatural in kind. All the supernatural forces are in operation because of you. What you are saying is putting authority into operation. Authority is spiritual. We are talking about spiritual authority. We are talking about an invisible authority. It means that when you say those things, you may not see them, but they are going to work. So faith is not hoping for the job to come. Faith is manifesting Christ for the job to be yours. Whenever Christ is manifested, that job is yours, then there is glory. Then you come out with a testimony, I have my job. That is faith. That is what Jesus did. That is why Paul did. That is what Peter did. Those men understood Christ's authority so much. The Bible says that the shadow of Peter passing. People put sick people that the shadow of Peter passing might heal the people. So you don't enter a nation as alone. No, you enter as somebody who is in Christ. You enter a car as somebody who is in Christ. You enter a plane as somebody who is in Christ. Let all of them die. You come back home. Why? By the time you enter, see, I'm not telling you tales. By the time you enter with a consciousness that you have entered in Christ, you have entered with Christ, who is all authority, that is when you can, see, that's why I said that, when I started, I said, this knowledge makes you a champion, gives you victory. This knowledge does not give you, you can't be afraid because there's a shaking anywhere. When Paul was in a ship and there was a shipwreck, he wasn't afraid. Why? Because he knew. He was the one who said that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. I always say that if we know what Paul knows, nothing can shake us. We are doing this thing. The thing is not working. It must work. We are not going to call God. That's why I say that you call customers. You don't sit down and say, they will come. They won't come. You are only hoping. The reason why you can call for customers to whatever you are doing is because you are in Christ. Who is the person who has all authority? When you call customers, there is a release of spiritual forces. Invisible forces. Authority is at work. And people begin to come. Why? You are not just talking. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are not just talking. But when you understand that Christ is in you and you put your faith to work. What does it mean to put your faith to work? To manifest Christ. What does it mean to manifest Christ? To express his authority. That's the first one. The second two, we'll talk about it next week. Shout hallelujah. So that when we can say that there is a person in you, we are saying that there is the highest authority, which is invisible, in you. You can have, do you know what he said? He says you can have what you say. He says when you say to this mountain, remove from here to here, that mountain will hear you and it will obey you by your faith. The things that are not obeying you will begin to obey you.
The reason why they don't obey you is because you are not speaking to them. You are praying to God for them or over them. You will stop praying. God, give me a good husband. God, give me a good husband. God will not give you any good husband. Do you know what you are going to do? You are going to manifest. You are going to do what? You are going to call the good husband. Good husband, you are coming now. You are not just saying good husband. God, give me, God, give me. God will never give you. As long as you are in Christ Jesus, your authority calls. The Bible says he calls those things which be not as though they were. So when this person is in you, there is somebody in you who has all authority. You see, this thing is very important. Let me repeat this thing. There's a difference between knowing that there is authority. Christ has all authority. Sit at the right hand of God. And I've always said this thing, that the greatest error is to ever think that you are apart from Christ. When you are born again, it's an error. You are not apart from Christ. You are not. He says, as you have therefore received Christ, walk in him. And when I talk about walking in Christ. But listen, you have received Christ as a person in you. That same person that you are always saying that he's sitting at the right hand of God. And you think that, oh, if Christ steps out here right now, all the demons will run away. That same person has come to indwell you. What do you do with this great person who is in your spirit? What will you do? What will you do? You will manifest him by your faith. And how does this faith work? By saying. Not just saying anything, but saying to things. Saying to mountains. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you say, I do this thing, it's not working. I do this thing, it's not working. You switch to the supernatural. Do you know how to switch? You pray in the Holy Ghost. When you see that this thing is not working, you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you have switched to the supernatural. It means that you have taken what is not working from the natural, from trying to relate to men and beg them, to when you are now, you have moved from relating to them and begging them. You have switched to the supernatural. I have dominion over this man. Because it says, and every name that is named in this world, I don't know which name you are dealing with, or who bears the name that you are dealing with. I don't know. A name that is above every name in this. This is what will make you a champion. 24/7 victory. You can't hold this message and go and sit down and sleep. Say, let me go to this man of God when he blesses me. Nobody will bless you or give you. You are blessed already.
Amen.
When the church knows this, we will walk in victory. We wouldn't be looking for things here and there. We will see, we know how to manifest things. The more you see Christ in you, the more your faith becomes operative. Tell someone. The more you see Christ in you. Say that again. Say, the more you see Christ in you, the more your faith becomes operative. But you see, you can understand that the devil has been defeated. We say, oh, the devil is defeated. He's defeated. It's true. He's a defeated foe. But when you meet the devil with Christ, you're like a trailer coming. When you're moving with Christ, you're coming like a trailer. When an armed robber meets you, he has pointed a gun. You don't think about the armed robber first. You think about who is inside. That is why when Paul was beaten by a venomous viper, he shook the thing off. He wasn't the only one there. He was there with Christ. And the Christ who is in him nullified the poison. Whatever you meet, it doesn't matter who is there. Listen, if you meet an armed robber with a gun and he'll kill you. It's not how you beg that to not make him kill you. But when you meet him with an understanding of Christ, he will sit down. He will sit down because by authority over every man. Authority over every man. It doesn't matter. See. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In my young life, with all this knowledge, I've seen certain things happen in the lives of some people. Now people who can call you from outside the country tell you that they have this issue. All you need is not to go there. Call them. Do this. No. There is authority. This guy called me about his elder brother who had traveled to Holland. And he said that when he went to Holland, some people gave him a counterfeit. The money, Holland, their money, I don't know what the money is. But it's a counterfeit that he gave to him. When he was given the counterfeit, he was arrested.
first person in Holland who was arrested. And the guy called the younger brother and said, this is what is going through. We should pray. We should pray. And the guy knew me, so he called me and said, this is what is going on. I said to him, this is not an issue. The guy had been arrested, put in prison. He said they were going to take him to court and all those things. I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. See, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, when you come and see me pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm not saying, God, do. Oh, God, come and help. You see this person, he says, God, help. No. Because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you have switched into the supernatural. You have moved from natural to supernatural. That's why it's important that when you wake up, you pray. Because your spirit becomes active. Then you switch into the supernatural. So whatever you say is a supernatural saying. It's not an ordinary, you are not speaking ordinary words. As I prayed in the Holy Ghost, I said, I nullify this case in the name of Jesus. I nullify this case. I release the power. You see, when the person of Christ is in you, there is the greatest power also in you. And next week I'll talk about those two things, the greatest power and all those things. I said, I nullify this case in the name of Jesus. I don't know what case you have tonight. That case is canceled. You have an issue with somebody, the person is chasing you here and there. It is canceled. You've not seen somebody just come and say, oh, even this morning, don't pray again, it's okay. It's as possible. We said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I said, okay, this was that is good. They'll take the person, they'll take him to court. The court will rule that there is nothing. This thing is not any. The guy thought I was playing. He said, hey, is it true? Can it happen? I didn't talk. I was there one day with my mother when I met this guy. He was dancing. He says, hey, prof. My mother looked at me and said, what is it? I said, I don't know. I'm not any prof. I'm a teacher. Prophet. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, prof. He said, what is it? He said, hey. When they went to court, they said that the case is a foolish case. The guy has been released. Released. The guy has been released. And he said that when they released him, do you know what happened? There's a family met him and the family took him home and gave him a job and gave him accommodation. That's what I'm saying. That when you begin to speak in Christ, it's not ordinary. It's not ordinary. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are carrying. You don't know. When somebody says that you, I'll make sure I put you in trouble, the person's in trouble. For saying that to you, didn't you read the Bible about Daniel? The person is in trouble for saying that he'll put you in trouble. Don't go and sleep, oh. You sit down and pray in the Holy Ghost. Unless you don't want to mind the person. So you don't mind you. Shout hallelujah. So this knowledge works. This knowledge works. The more I receive this knowledge myself, the more I tell myself, I'm moving higher and higher. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter where I find myself. I'm moving higher and higher. This message is going everywhere, all over the world. I'm going everywhere, all over the world. Nations are open to me. As I enter the nation, I'm changing people, changing lives, giving them a reason to walk in authority, a reason to meet a situation, circumstances. Because circumstances and situations meet everyone. It even met Jesus. The winds and the waves met Jesus. He was asleep. But you see, look at what the disciples did. They said, Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you care that we perish? Why? They were going to perish because they didn't know what the master knew. But the master knew something. When he woke up, he said, quiet. And that was all. He said, quiet. There is no future for Christians who cannot speak. Your only future will be natural. Every day you'll be begging one man or be doing one or two things. But when you understand this thing, your life changes. I've said it over and over that if you are here and you are doing business, your business, your name is supposed to be all over the world. It doesn't matter where it starts from. As long as you look at this business and say, I bless you. You may be selling onion. I bless you. You are not just speaking, I bless you, as if you are afraid. No. You are speaking with authority. By the time you are there, somebody will come and say, I want to distribute onions for you. Every day, every month, I'll distribute onions with my car. Are you not expanding? You can't keep your mouth shut and think something will happen as a Christian. Unless all that you do is natural. But as long as you want to see supernatural happenings, they come to Christ. Because Christ is in you, there is the availability, the possibility of supernatural happenings. Our life is supernatural. By the time I teach you this thing about Christ in you, you become conscious of your life will be supernatural. The time that you lay hands on a sick person, you know. The time that you say, no, this thing cannot take my child away. Cannot take my sister away. The people will say, what is wrong with this person? You have heard something. What you have heard has settled in your spirit. You can't keep quiet. The word of God cannot be in you and you don't boil. When the word of God is boiling in you, you boil. When the fire of the word is boiling in you, you release fire. And wherever fire is, people begin to run. Shout hallelujah. Say, I'm blessed. My finances are blessed. There are certain Christians, when they come and say, I speak to your finances, they're opening their eyes, speaking to finances. It's because your whole life is founded on the economy of this world. As long as it's there, when the economy goes down, you are down. I've come to realize that Jesus never thought about anything about this world. He only thought about what he had. He thought about himself. When we think so much about Christ, we will speak to things. Jesus spoke to things. Spoke to somebody who was dead. Did not say he's dead, so what do we do? He spoke to somebody who was paralyzed. He saw the man paralyzed, cannot walk. He did not say that this man who cannot walk, how can you say he should rise up and walk? I can't even say he should rise up, let him lie down. No. The Bible said he said to the paralyzed man, rise up and walk. Why? He was talking to somebody who could not walk to rise up and walk. He told some lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. In those days, it was illegal for a leper to be even seen outside. But to tell a leper, go and show yourself to the priest. The leper went, showed themselves to the priest. The Bible says when he said they should show themselves to the priest, and they showed themselves to the priest, immediately they saw the priest, they were cleansed. Immediately. Shout hallelujah. If you are blessed, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you please be upstanding? Let's pray for the next seconds. Lift up your voice. Say, I'm not disadvantaged.
I am not disadvantaged.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Say, I'm not disadvantaged.
I'm not disadvantaged.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
I'm moving from glory to glory.
I'm moving from glory to
because
glory.
I am walking in Christ.
Because I am walking in Christ.
Henceforth. As I speak to things,
as I speak to them,
they hear my voice.
They hear my voice.
Because I speak in Christ.
Because I speak in Christ.
As I speak to things,
as I speak to them,
they hear my voice.
They hear my voice.
As I speak to things,
as I speak to them,
they hear my voice.
They hear my voice.
As I speak to things,
as I speak to them,
they hear my voice.
They hear my voice.
As I speak to things,
as I speak to them,
they hear my voice.
The word is a seed, when planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams, if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. It's time to shine again. In a world this call.